Welcome everyone to our Sunday night Building Zion conference call. Yes, I do have a cold. Actually, it's probably the flu. So I will sound odd tonight. This evening's topic, again, if you're new to this subject or to our calls, what I've done is gone through all the old conference call talks since 1849 and looked up quotes by LDS apostles and prophets using the term building Zion or establishing Zion. Originally I looked them up to include them in, you know, to learn what the original apostles and prophets were thinking about that topic in my efforts to be prepared and well-armed when I taught a high priest group in my ward a while back. So we've reviewed roughly 10 of those categories of quotes. I've broken them up into about 13 categories. And the category I wanted to share tonight, I've labeled, "There's no need to wait to build Zion." In fact, these quotes, there's 11 of the quotes here that I want to share tonight. Each of them I've summarized in a short phrase, and that short phrase answers the question, why is there no need to wait to build Zion? And let me read the short versions, and then we'll go back and read the quotes. So there's no need to wait to build Zion because, first quote says, the Lord is willing for us to do it. The second quote says, we are not only that, but we're called to do it. And the next quote says, we have everything we need. We have the authority. We have the privilege. We have the determination. We have the opportunity. We have the power. We have the priesthood. We have the resources. And we have the right to do it. So let me go back and read, that's quite a list, reasons why there's no need to wait. So let me go back and read these in order. Brigham Young, General Conference, 1873. I was present at the time the revelation came for the brethren to give their surplus property into the hands of the bishops for the building up of Zion. If we are disposed to enter into covenant one with another and have agreement made according to the laws of our land, and we are disposed to put our property into the hands of trustees and work as we are directed, the Lord has not the least objection in the world and would be perfectly willing for us to do it. And I should like, right well, for us to try it. So according to Brigham Young in 1873, the Lord is more than happy for us to build Zion. 1862, this is the next quote, is also Brigham Young, and I've summarized that we are called to do it. The kingdom of God is before us. We have it to build up and to establish the Zion of our God upon this land. And if I am right in my views and feelings, the Latter-day Saints cannot labor too fast nor too diligently to accomplish the work they are called to do. Then let us go with our might and labor faithfully to establish that kingdom which is in all and in all to us. Which is all and in all to us. May the Lord help us. Amen. Apparently that was the end of his talk. So there he points out that we are called to build Zion. The next reason why there's no need to wait, we have everything we need, according to Brigham Young, 1862. There is not one thing wanting or needful in all the works of God's hands to make a Zion upon the earth when the people conclude to make it. So it's up to us. Let me finish the quote here. We can make a Zion of God on earth at our pleasure upon the same principle that we can raise a field of wheat or build homes and inhabit them. There has been no time when the material has not been here from which to produce corn, wheat, etc., And by judicious management and arrangement of this ever-existing material, a Zion of God can always be built on the earth. So we have everything we need. In fact, that quote suggests that the only thing holding us back is the people deciding to make Zion. And let me read that sentence again. There is not one thing wanting or lacking in all the works of God's hands to make a Zion upon the earth when the people conclude to make it. So there's actually, I guess there's two things in there. Well, I guess that's what, that's kind of what's holding us back, isn't it? Is the fact that the people haven't concluded to make it. All right, the next quote is from George Q. Cannon. We have the authority. This is in 1889. So he's obviously speaking in behalf of the church when he says this. I say to you, and I bear testimony to it, that all the keys, all the authority, all the power, and all the spirit that were necessary to build up Zion were bestowed upon the prophet Joseph Smith, and by him conferred upon his fellow servants, and are in existence and held and exercised at the present time by the apostles of this church. So the church has the authority to build Zion. Of course, if the people aren't willing, then it isn't going to happen. Lorenzo Snow, 1878, and I've summarized that. We have the privilege to build Zion. Let's see. Wherever there is a people of God, the principles of the United Order are applicable if they would receive and obey them. So again, there's that we have to choose it. Some have thought that the United Order was to be kept only by the people who should go up to the land of Missouri. Now this, I believe, is incorrect. It would seem very singular that the Latter-day Saints, when they receive the gospel, should not have the privilege of uniting themselves according to the principles of the celestial law. So it's a privilege. And that Jackson County should be the only place where this law might be observed. In other words, he's saying it would be really odd if once you receive the gospel and join the LDS Church, that you wouldn't have the opportunity to participate in a United Order, Zion-like society, community, according to the laws of the celestial kingdom. And he calls it a privilege. Brigham Young, 1862. I love this one. This is one of my favorite quotes. I've summarized it. We have the determination. I can't help but think of Brigham saying this quote. We are not going to wait for angels or for Enoch and his company to come and build up Zion, but we are going to build it. We will raise our wheat, build our houses, fence our farms, plant our vineyards and orchards, and produce everything that will make our bodies comfortable and happy. And in this manner, we intend to build up Zion on the earth and purify it and cleanse it from all pollutions. Now, if you haven't heard some of our earlier calls, this quote brings up the issue or the point that to early LDS apostles and prophets, building Zion was as much a temporal, or what we would call an economic activity, as it is a spiritual one. And he makes that point here when he talks about raising wheat and building houses and fencing farms. Okay, the next quote I've summarized, we have the opportunity. Wilford Woodruff, 1870. I consider that we are in a position in which we have every chance to do a great deal of good in our day and generation. We have every chance to work with the Lord, every chance to fulfill our mission and calling here on the earth. We have every chance to build up the Zion of God. Nothing wanting. 3 years later, Wilford Woodruff summarized that one as, we have the power. We have the power. The Lord has put into our hands the power to build up his Zion and kingdom on the earth, and we have more to encourage us than ever possessed by any generation that has preceded us. He made a similar comment 2 years later, but it basically says the same thing. And then Wilford Woodruff again in 1875, and I've summarized that, we have the priesthood. And this starts to introduce an interesting idea that we'll go into a little further here. You are literally and lawfully heirs of the priesthood through the lineage of your fathers, and that priesthood will continue throughout eternity. Therefore, you have received your appointment, and the Lord looks to you to what? You could say anything here. He says, the Lord looks to you to build up his Zion. It almost makes you wonder if the whole point of having the priesthood is so that we can build Zion. And there are quotes. I can't remember which category I have them under, but I do remember we have some quotes that suggest that very point. Brigham Young, 1862. We have the resources. The elements are here. Oh, this is different. Okay, it sounds like the one we read earlier. The elements are here to produce as good a Zion as was ever made in all the eternities of the gods. Here are the elements to produce grain, which is good for the food of man, and also the fruit of the vine, and that which yieldeth fruit, whether in the ground or above the ground. Again, he's talking about in terms of building Zion in a temporal fashion, providing for our own needs, suggesting that we have everything we need, the resources. The same year, in fact, in the same talk, is this quote, which I find very fascinating. In fact, we'll probably read it twice, because it's loaded. And I've summarized that we have the right to build Zion. It is for us, as children of our Heavenly Father, to arise and assume the right the law of the Holy Priesthood gives us and organize the elements for a Zion and bring it forth, no matter where we are. I would not give much for a religion that is not thus practical. So the first part of that that jumps out at me is he says it is for us as children of our Heavenly Father. So because we're children of Heavenly Father, and because we have the priesthood, we have the right, he's saying, to build Zion. That we should arise and assume the right the law of the Holy Priesthood gives us. And I assume when he says the law of the Holy Priesthood, he's referring to the law of consecration, the covenant of consecration. And apparently that covenant gives us the right, perhaps, is what he's saying, to organize the elements for a Zion, no matter where we are. That's also an interesting point. It doesn't matter where we are. We apparently have the right to build Zion. In fact, that's the last of the 11 reasons why there's no need to wait. Let me read them again. I actually enjoy reading through these. It sounds like, wow, we really don't have anything to wait on. The Lord is willing. We're called to do it. We have everything we need. We have the authority, the privilege, the determination, the opportunity. We have the power. We have the priesthood. We have the resources. And we have the right to do it. And I've thrown in at the end here, this fun quote I really enjoy by Brigham Young from October Conference 1872. I just really had to chuckle when I found this quote. And I've read it before, but I'll read it again. We want to see a community organized in which every person will be industrious, faithful, and prudent. But if such a community could be organized to show the Latter-day Saints how to build up the kingdom of heaven on earth, I would be glad to see it. Would not you? If this could be done, I want to say to the Latter-day Saints that I have a splendid place, large enough for about 500 or 1,000 persons to settle upon, and I would like to be the one to make a donation of it, with a good deal more, to start the business, to see if we can actually accomplish the affair and show the Latter-day Saints how to build up Zion. I really want to take Brigham up on that offer. One of the things I wanted to share, it had to do with the last statement. To assume the right Allah the priesthood gives us, no matter where we are. Well, it must not have been a good idea, because I've lost it. Of course, it may also be that I'm getting older. Anyway, so knowing all these things, reading through all these comments, these and all the others in the other 12 categories of quotes, really makes me want to jump in and figure it out. How can we build a Zion or pre-Zion community, if you will? And I think there, in fact, maybe those of you who are on the call who are who have some thoughts on this, go ahead and unmute. Let's talk about gosh, I think this illness has got to my brain. I'm losing every train of thought.
Well, it makes me wonder where that property is that Brigham Young was talking about.
That had in mind. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. And what is it doing now?
Yeah, and is the offer still good? I know what I'm thinking. It makes sense to me that there are so many other groups of people doing elements of what I would consider a Zion community. If we could bring them all into one place, one intentional community, as they're called among the Gentiles, and bring in those different elements and figure out how to configure the community in a way that it would be a huge blessing to anyone who participated. You know, I think of the as we've mentioned in other calls, the Mondragon Cooperative Network in northern Spain, just absolutely remarkable progress they've made since the 1950s. And also, I've mentioned, I believe, to Andrea, and I know Joyce knows all about this, that I personally feel that the Sudbury Valley School offers the ideal education that, in my opinion, would exist in a Zion society. The traditional schools that we have are based on compulsion. You will go, and you will learn what we want you to learn, and you'll learn how we want you to learn it, and when we want you to learn it. And the Sudbury Valley School model, which has just as good a graduation level. The kids are just as likely, if not more so, to go to college. They're actually more likely to get an advanced degree if they do go to college. And they're more likely to get into the college of their first or second choice than other students. So their school is based on the concept of free will, instead of coercion. And to me, that is an element that should exist in this pre-Zion or community. Politically, you know, we've talked in earlier conversations about how the quotes that we reviewed, the Brethren quotes spanning from 1859 to 1884, talking about there are three foundations in the society that God wants for us, a political, an economic, and a religious. The church is the religious organization, the kingdom of God is the political organization, and Zion is the economic organization. It makes sense that our community would include all of those. The political organization that I've found that seems to me to be the most Zion-like would be, it's essentially a council-based type of organization. It's called Sociocracy. And you can look up on YouTube and there's videos on what it's all about. But it's a mechanism for self-government that has the benefits of majority rule and the benefits of consensus, but not the downsides of those two. So anyway, there's political, religious. Obviously, in our community, since we aren't under, if we build one, we're not under priesthood direction. We're doing this of our own free will and choice to bring to pass much righteousness. We would simply defer to whatever religious organization ward happens to be in the area. But what would be way cool is if our community grew to the point where we could have our own ward. And then we could really follow Brigham's invitation and show the saints how it's done to build a real Zion community.
I have something I'd like to share that's similar to your experience, Jess, with your neighborhood's wells, your neighbor's wells. We have a neighborhood Facebook page. And let me read to you what one of the sisters posted and maybe some of the comments, too, if you're interested. She
sure.
says, a proposition for the neighborhood. In order to more effectively use all the amazing fruit and nut trees in our neighborhood and the know-how of those with knowledge, I'd like to gauge the interest of a neighborhood co-op orchard project. If you have trees you aren't able to take care of the way you would like, there are members of the neighborhood who would love to learn and help you take care of them and then share in the harvest with you. Is this of interest to anyone here on Facebook?
Wow.
Sister so-and-so and I plan to canvass the neighborhood in December and find out who wants to help and what type of trees they have and who would like to help and learn and share produce.
Wow,
so be watching
cool.
for us.
That's
yeah.
very cool.
And there are several very positive responses to that. So I think we're going to do that.
Wow.
And that's Zion.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. That's a we're all in this together effort. That's so cool.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's encouraging. I get discouraged now and then. You know, I spend a lot of time thinking about Zion and Babylon and the difference between the two. It's easy for me to get discouraged because pretty much all we see around us, even the whole conference talked about that, all we see around us is Babylon and its values, and it's refreshing to see when people are looking out for each other in that
mm-hmm.
cooperative way. It's
mm-hmm.
awesome. All right. Well, that's all I have to share for this category for tonight. Next week, the quotes fell into it was something that I didn't realize, but I found all these quotes that talked about it, and that is that the brethren saw cooperative free enterprise, or cooperatives, as a stepping stone to Zion's United Order. That, and we'll talk about that next week, but that the saints were unable to, most of the saints were unable to live the Order of Enoch, and so instead of just defaulting to the world's economic system, which we lovingly call Babylon, they went back to the level of cooperation, which is, in my view, at least a terrestrial-level economic order. So that's what we have next week on the agenda. So I want to thank everybody who joined the call and is listening. and hope you'll listen to our other conference calls and participate in our Building Zion Facebook page. And we'll sign off. Thanks.